What is up, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Anti-Gravity Group podcast. My name is Braden Carlson.
I'm Taylor Jesse.
And my name is Shane, or as you might know me, Postart.
And Nigel the Rocket Cat is ever-present in the background. He's being very vocal today. So if you hear a cat in the background, that is Nigel kindly requesting that you go to rocketvlogs.com and buy the merch with his picture on it.
I wasn't even thinking. That's definitely what he's doing.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's like, hey, I know you're about to drop the podcast episode. Let's go. Today we are talking about something very near and dear to my heart and Taylor's heart as well. And Postart's heart. Let's be honest. It's kind of just every rocket person is down with an upscale is cool. But I took that a step further as a teenager and made it my entire personality, which was ironic because I didn't really build any upscales when I was a teenager and don't really have a lot now either. But I would like to have a ton of them. So basically what we're going to do. Yeah, I do. I got the 7.5-inch Fat Boy. Yeah, the broken Red Max, the broken Fat Boy, the soon to be broken other big Red Max.
Daddy in the ground.
Oh yeah, the Big Daddy's gone. Mm. That was barely an upscale though. It's just 3 to 4 inch.
That still counts.
Yeah, it's at what, 125% scale? No. 133? I don't know. Look, we all dropped out of school or didn't even try to go. So
Also in the theme of scaling, I was gonna throw in scale rockets too. Well, sport scale, pretty much, but you know.
So basically what we're doing is we're kind of going to talk about some of the past rocket projects over the years that we're familiar with that we want to highlight as some of our favorites. And we're also going to talk about what projects we would like to do or have been working on for a couple of years and kept saying we're going to fly Airfest and Cloudburst and, you know, stuff like that. So without further ado, I think my list is a little soft here. So I kind of want to toss it to Taylor or Postart. I don't know how much Postart's going to have for his list, but I did tell him, I was like, if Matt was going to be here, I figure him and Matt are each going to throw like one or two. And then Taylor and I will be able to talk for like an hour about cool upscales of the past. So,
I mean, the obvious one is, which used to be a kit that we all, me and Braden for sure wanted. But that's an upscale Mosquito.
Yeah.
Yep.
The 5.5-inch one. I have specific examples of upscale projects that I was going to bring up. But a good example of that. Well, I mean, either way, it's kind of like we have that. And then I was going to say projects that we all want to do or go through that. But I mean,
so we're okay.
That is a fair one, though, immediately, though, because all of us want an upscale Mosquito.
Yep.
But, Shane, all right, why don't you tell us the one that came to your mind?
It hasn't flown, and it is very, very recently, but I still think it's really cool, and that's the huge initiator that Gary had built to be outside of the Aerotech building.
It hasn't flown and it won't fly.
Yeah.
It's just a display piece, but it is cool. Yeah. It looks super big.
And it's sick.
Since I misunderstood what we were talking about, I would like to redact mine and say, in the same theme, Woody Hoberg's giant Mosquito that flew at LDRS 23.
Didn't it fly not well?
I don't know. I've never seen the full video.
Yeah. So
my understanding is the recovery was less than ideal.
Right. And that's, what is his name? Chuck Rudy, I believe, Voodoo Rocketry. I always wanted to see because he had that LDRS 23 video and it opened with that Mosquito and then there was no footage of it flying. When I finally met him in person at MDRA, he's like, oh yeah, I didn't post it because it didn't end well. I feel like it's safe to post it now, though. The man's an astronaut.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, it was just a mistake. You know, things happen. But the man was just in space. Like, if there's ever any time to be like, look, we all make mistakes. See, check this out. Woody Holbrook almost took out a minivan with his mosquito, and now he's on the International Space Station.
I think from that same launch, the upscale Freaky Flyer.
Yeah, that thing was cool. Oh, I actually so almost sick. Brought that up the other day when we were talking about rockets with two motors. I think it was 275s, though, but it had two. Mm. Again, that kind of makes sense because of the layout. I think it had
there was two air starts also.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It had like, what, two 98s and two 54s maybe?
It could be. For some reason, I thought the big ones were 75s, but it was really big, so they might have been
98s. It was huge. I was wanted to say there was like two gray 98s or something strange like that, like two L1300s.
Huh. Well, I'll have to look into that. Yeah, I think there's a video of it now from Rockets Magazine, right? Were they there?
Yeah, we saw that in one of our times hanging out recently.
Yeah, I'll try and find links to this stuff if there's video footage of it and drop them in the description on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or wherever, not iTunes, I meant to say Spotify, we actually have a pretty decent presence of listeners on Apple Podcasts. So if you guys could do us a favor, give us a rating and leave us a review, we'd appreciate it. Not that I think people are just going to stumble on this podcast and be like, all right, I'm in, because it is pretty niche, but you know, just in
especially
case.
The name.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe someone's really into roller coasters, and then they're like, what is this?
And then they're like, I'm going to report this to the Gravity Group. Or we get flat earthers. That's a very real possibility, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, one of the things I wrote down was the Arizona Rocketry Group, upscalerocketry.com. Rest in peace of that website. They're 12-inch alpha. Mainly just because I love the picture of it in the pickup truck. That's like, instead of it being like clear that it's a big rocket, it just looks like a tiny truck because it's so perfectly scaled to the original Alpha 3 and all the colors are perfect. It was like just a perfectly executed upscale. And that website is why my Rocketry Forum handle is Upscaler.
That would have been a good candidate for a tilt shift picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get a little like fake blur in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did some really, really cool stuff. I also have their giant Gemini DC on there, obviously.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up.
Wild.
LDRS 26, that thing was like 20. I don't know the exact scale. I feel like it was like 26 feet tall or something. I don't know. It was huge.
Imagine being like, there to see that.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. M1939 and four M1315s.
That launch was just kind of crazy because that's when Scott flew the giant Thor, right?
Yeah.
And then I forgot Ron Zeppin. Is that his name? The 12-inch Diablo as well, that he did like a 6-grain 98N for his level 3 with a 12-inch rocket.
Good God.
And the Talon, wasn't that flown there?
Yeah, I think so. The one that came back for LDRS-29 with the P motor. Mm-hmm. It burns when I pee. The classic.
Yep.
The Porthos with the ladder falling over.
Yep.
The giant Bowmark, my dream.
Oh, right. Yeah, where do we stand? That's an interesting... How big is a real Bowmark?
I think it's 16-inch.
So that one was 12, right?
Yeah.
It was close.
No, that one was 7.5, sorry. Oh, the one
is that had motors in the pods, though, right?
Yeah, K550 air starts in the pods, which is crazy.
Yeah, wasn't it two M's, or was it M1939?
Two L1420s, which is kind of another two motor cluster. It kind of makes more sense in that rocket, though. But.
Yeah, like the Freaky Flyer too. Man, people were going crazy hard back in the day.
And so I thought, I'm like, this is it. This is what it is.
It seems that there is a big rocket resurgence happening. I think between our projects, like Bryce's projects, and having the visibility of how cool it is to build and fly giant rockets coming back into the forefront, it seems like more and more of it's happening, which is awesome. Even people are pulling rockets out of retirement. That 12-inch rocket that flew at Cloudburst was on a an O motor. He told me that rocket hadn't flown for like 12 years or something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I'm definitely not trying to like claim that we brought the big rockets back, but you know, that was our mission statement with the Punisher. We were like, we just want more people to build giant stuff, and nobody's doing it, so we took it upon ourselves. And Citibank, I mean, and Capital One.
Yeah, I think Bryce starting to fly the Gates Brothers rockets too. I mean, that's sort of what lit our fire.
Yeah, exactly. It all rolls downhill eventually.
And Dan Michael's been keeping it alive on the East Coast. But that's pretty much it for many years there. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of big projects going on.
Yeah, really. I mean, LDRS-38, Tim flew the big Dark Star, right?
Yeah.
Was that then? Or was that AirFest when I was in college?
He might have tried to fly to LDRS and got shut down because it was something to do with the motor.
I swear,
there was one time he brought it and didn't fly it.
I remember that. I wasn't there for that. Okay. I think he did fly it at LDRS.
Yeah, it must have been LDRS.
When the booster motor KO'd?
Yeah, and then he flew it single stage and it went crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. Yeah, a P motor and a 12-inch rocket, and it seriously looked like a Ford.
If it had successfully staged, how high would that have went? I feel like it still went like 20,000 feet.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Flying that Argonia is pretty nuts.
Yeah, that's hardcore. So I guess the gap wasn't as big as I was thinking there, but they were very few and far in between. And now I feel like we're starting to see a lot more like 7.5-inch rockets coming out of the woodwork. And at LDRS, there was a couple like 10 and 12-inch projects that were like Sonotube and stuff like that. Please, please keep bringing the big rockets out.
Yeah, you know, the 7.5-inch rocket was a staple for level threes and stuff for so long. And then it kind of just disappeared in the
wake of fiberglass
2010s. There were 6-inch rockets, but that's kind of where there was a gap between 6-inch and like big huge dumb rockets. So
yeah, there was an nice 8 see, in there here and there.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, someone who splurged on an 8-inch glass kit, but it's nice to see the 7.5-inch rockets more readily as Locke has kind of made a comeback, and hopefully we can get some of that old PML stuff back too. Once they get
some, that's what I'm saying. All right. Well, anyway, let's try and get this back on track here. another project I wanted to highlight we're kind of jumping over the scale side of stuff here. And a little bit later, we're going to kind of talk about making your scale rockets look scale. some folks tend to struggle with that. Upscales as well. But one I wanted to point out that was really, really well done was Mark Hayes, StickerShock23.com, his 10-inch Mercury Redstone that he built for his level 3.
Yeah, that was so good.
So sick.
Yeah. And
M2400, I think, for his level 3 flight. And then he actually reused the capsule to build a 10-inch Little Joe, which was also so sick.
Yeah.
I think he did, it was 454s, I think, air starting two long 4-grain 54s.
Yeah.
CTI ones, K160s. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what I think they were just four classic CTI K motors.
Super sick, though.
Mm-hmm. I got to see that, too. But anyway.
Oh, wow. That must be nice. And you got to meet Carrie Byron. That, I think, is the hardest flex for all the listeners here.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, well, that's cool that you went to all the rocket launches, but the fact that you met Carrie Byron is probably a tipping point for a lot of people that listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I didn't think, I mean, I was like, yeah, cool, but I guess for a lot of people that would be like, there was definitely people there
dude, when that I can stuff only was imagine. Happening
that could not handle it. It was off the rails.
Look, I mean, there's definitely a generational gap here with the crossing the line of appreciating a woman's beauty, we'll say. we see quite a bit of it on Facebook, so I can only imagine what also being famous brings to the table in terms of what bold old men are willing to say in person. So,
yeah, I'm sure no shortage of all that, unfortunately.
So talking to a child that talked to her like a person was probably a nice nice break.
Yeah. Hi, I'm 17, and I'm going to talk to you like a normal person. How's it going?
I have to say, if you introduced yourself like a robot like that, it probably didn't go well.
No, I didn't. But it was when my grandpa was flying the mannequin.
Oh, that's right.
And and there was a moment when we were at the away cell where he was off to doing and talking to someone else. I'm not sure. And she's like, "Wow, does he really wear that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he's worn it because it had a big Vash the Stampede coat on it." I'm like, "Yeah, he's worn that in public before."
Believe it or not. Yeah, so anyway, scale and upscale rockets. Taylor, throw out another one. Postar, did you come up with anything?
I did.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
All right, the I don't know if it had flown beforehand, but the big Deuces Wild that flew at Red Glare in 2021.
It had flown 24
inch.
Yeah,
it had.
Yep.
Yeah.
Successfully the first time.
Sick.
Yeah.
Which is kind of partially. Well, I guess we wanted to go for Dan's Patriot, but that was the other thing when we found out that was going to fly. Why we wanted to go.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's why all of us will be at LDRS so we can see Dan's Patriot fly. Paul starts making faces like he has any excuse for not going. Unbelievable. Anyway.
Upscales.
Yeah. That was a scary thing to witness in person. Also,
yeah.
I posted that on TikTok and it got like 1.4 million views or something like that. Like before we left Baltimore. It just blew up for no reason.
It was around the time of the whole Ukraine stuff and it's
The color scheme. So, yeah, I remember there was a lot of comments about that.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Whoops.
It's blue and yellow. It must be related.
The same people that flew that, didn't they also have something else there that was supposed to fly and didn't? Wasn't it a mosquito? I feel like they had a 12 or 24 inch mosquito.
I don't know. I think is the guy's name. Yeah, he does a lot of big projects.
I feel like there was
big,
one in
heavy,
the trailer.
Like kind of weird sci-fi looking things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
They are super cool, and he always chucks them like super low. It's awesome.
Yeah. Like just like M3100s and M3700s.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, how do you always get those things to not Kato? That's great.
Well, I think mostly that he does research stuff, doesn't he?
No, most of those big heavy rockets are the 75 White Thunders.
Huh.
He didn't make the motors. Someone else made the motors for the Deuces Wild, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, me neither. It's on the video. It's, you know.
Well, anyway, yeah, it said
I shouldn't have said anything about linking to all of these. The description's going to have like 55,000 links in it.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you put too many, even if they're YouTube links, YouTube will like start blocking your channel for spamming.
Oh. Well,
it's a whole thing.
On the side of scale things, the LDRS, or sorry, AirFest you were at in 2012, Braden, 18, I guess, the Saturn 1Bs, or is one of them Saturn 5? Were they both 1Bs?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I can't think of anybody's name tonight, but
Steve Eaves and Vern Hogue.
Yes. Vern Hogue had the 4 in 5800s, which was so gnarly.
Yeah, crazy. And what, Steve Eaves was the two-stage one, right?
Well, the other one might have been two-stage. Yeah, but one of them didn't stage. I think
neither did.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, the like just meticulously detailed 10th scale Saturn 1Bs. It's crazy too. Obviously, if we're going to talk about this, we got to bring up Steve Eaves' Saturn 5.
Yeah.
That's like one of the most big viewed rocketry related videos ever. It's really weird. Like, at LDRS 38, I was talking to Crazy Jim and Don Ball, and Steve Eaves was camped out with them. And he was flying like a 25-year-old locked Top Gun. And it was just so weird for me to see that he just like flies regular rockets.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, you're just flying a rocket. That's bizarre to me.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I just love all rockets, but that was just a project.
Yeah. Like being like, I don't know, when he did that, I feel like I was like 13 or 14 or something like that. At that age, I was like, this guy is like a celebrity, basically. So it was weird for me to find out that like nobody in the rocketry community is really a celebrity, and they're just, you know, everyone's just kind of a normal person.
Well, and also that kind of seems like one of those projects where you're like, this is my pinnacle and I'm gonna
dip out after this.
Yeah. But no, yeah, he's like that was just part of the story.
The guy from Colorado that did that rocket Final Cut with like all the drop away boosters and the N1000 in the middle. In that
that was the camera guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name either.
Me neither.
I should have wrote down people's names beforehand. Yeah. I just can't think of anybody's name.
In the video, he's like, he named it that because of the editing software. He's like, also because this is probably going to be my last big project before I die or something like that. I was like, oh my God.
Whoa.
We don't gotta take it to that level.
I
feel like there's an obvious one we haven't talked about yet, but I have it on my list. The Gates Brothers Jayhawk.
Oh yeah, I forget that's
full scale Jayhawk.
I was wondering about that in the sumo when they were gonna be brought up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The old Sumi. Yeah, I've got them both on my list, but
okay.
Taylor forgetting about the Gates Brothers Rockets.
Yeah, you have a big sumo right behind you.
He might have early onset Alzheimer's to be forgetting Gates Brothers stuff, honestly.
To be fair, I did have a long day today at work. I worked 11 hours, so.
Jeez. Well, welcome home. Did you burn your mouth with your pizza?
No. It cooled down fast because it was thin crust.
Nice. Speaking of the Gates Brothers stuff, actually, we got to talk about the long lost upscale, the Bullpup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nobody really knows what happened to that thing, evidently.
Yeah, I kind of makes me wonder if there was one of those that got flown and there was no record of it and something happened.
Yeah, because Bryce doesn't know. I wonder if David knows. We could ask him.
Because there was a gap in the where the website wasn't really updated, but I think some stuff they were still, you know. Eric was certainly going to launches and
right.
I don't know. But yeah, that was a PML Bulldog with a 98. Or no, it was bigger than that. But it was an upscale, or they had PML make them a 12-inch kit of their Bullpup or whatever.
Yeah. It's super sick. And yeah, I mean, there's even like an undocumented flight of Porthos that I didn't know about until fairly recently, after the N3300 flight, but before
the
Bryce got it.
2013. There's a video on YouTube that's like from a cell phone.
Oh, really? I guess it was. Yeah, it was after he got it repainted to what it looks like now.
Yeah, it was like an M1939 and 6K1100s.
What a weird combo! But
yeah,
it's Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. There is like, and there's some stuff that's on the website that I like really wish there was videos of, like the Porthos flight, Porthos 2 that went like 30,000 feet or something like that. The P and six N's.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Well, weren't some of the N's air started? Like half of them were air started, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So gnarly. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. But, all right. Well, we can kind of roll on from projects that we've admired in the past and talk about things that we wanted to, but I did want to offer Taylor the soapbox to talk about properly scaling rockets if we should for a second here.
Yeah. So this is only being brought up because me and Braden regularly see people post stuff online of upscales that people are really excited about. And of course we are too, until we see that I'm not really sure what's happening. It appears from my perspective that maybe some people are just eyeballing the scale. I don't know, where it's like the fin shapes are clearly wrong. And this has like upscales and scale, you know, like real rockets scaled right down or whatever.
You can only lean on the sport scale thought so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate saying scale models because it makes me think of like, you know, like a meticulously crafted, perfect two scale thing. But yeah.
Right.
Anyway. So at least for upscales, if you have an actual kit that you want to upscale, you can just get your measurements from that rocket. But a lot of these people like to upscale, us included, are rockets that are no longer in production. So there's a good chance if you don't already have the kit. So an answer for that would be try to get a RockSim file from somebody. Or there's actually plans online. Like,
is Jim Z still around?
Jim Z still around?
Yeah, is that site still up?
I think so. But anyway, you could do some Googling, and I've you know, or even just asking on like the Rocketry Forum or Facebook, like, does anyone have fin dimensions for a Fat Boy or whatever? And lots of people have a Fat Boy, they can give you the actual fin dimensions. Then whatever body tube you're going to scale it around, you need to find the scale factor. That's how I do it anyway. I think it's really simple. So basically you're going to find the decimal that's to multiply by to give you that scale factor. And then you can take all of the measurements from what you're trying to upscale and multiply it by that number. And that's going to give you your new dimensions for everything. You can also scale down from like real rocket stuff and that to downscale big scale rockets. So like what a Peter Allway, is that?
Yeah.
Rockets of the world. So like the Nike Hercules I'm building, that's been a big part of it. Everything's scaled by like 5.2 or something. I divide all the dimensions by that, and because the real body tube's like 36 inches or something.
Right.
I say body tube. Airframe.
Yeah. The motor. For the sustainer anyway.
The missile. The body tube. With a bunch of hobby guys.
Yeah.
The body tube on the real one. Anyway.
So it looks like Jim Z is still out there, and it looks like NAR has archived all of that data. It's actually hosted spacemodeling.org/Jim Z. And yeah, that's something I figured out how to do when I was younger. And I wish I still had access to all these RockSim files, because I made dozens and dozens of different size upscales and downscales and scale stuff of real rockets. Like, once I figured out how to use RockSim, it was like weeks spent for hours at a time just making files. And then my dad's a CAD drafter, so I used to just give him files and he would go to work and print them out on their big plotter, like full scale.
Oh, that's
like
awesome. Fin
templates, and like he would do CAD drawings of some of them so they could be colored and print them out.
That reminds me, on Rock Sim, there's actually an option. I don't like doing this as much because once you type it in, you can't really go back easily without like reopening everything. So you kind of would need to figure out your scale factor beforehand. But there's actually, if you in the menu, there's like a scale factor spot where you can enter a scale factor and scale your entire like sim file.
How did I not know about this?
Yeah. So if you had like a fat boy, you could just go up and whatever, if you just said you could do 200% or whatever, or maybe it's just two, scale factor of two, and then you would get your 5 point, whatever.
Dude, I've been using RockSim for like 14 years, and I did not know this was a thing.
I mean, I don't know if that's always been a thing. I literally just found out about it like last year.
Okay,
that's how I got the sim file for my 4-inch Prometheus, because I couldn't find one for the 4-inch, but I found one for the 5-inch. So I just scaled it down.
Spent all this time meticulously making one for the Falcon 98 when I could have just taken the Falcon 75 and upscaled it.
But yeah, you have to be pretty precise with your stuff, though, because it's like you end up with, because it's all like decimals that are multiplied. And so it doesn't scale everything to available components exactly, right? So if you build it piece by piece, you can sort of fudge things to available diameters.
Right.
So like you scale the whole thing. The five and a half inch nose cone is a little bit different aspect ratio than the 4-inch or whatever the situation is. So
interesting. But yeah, I guess what we're getting at here is don't eyeball your scale and upscale and downscale rockets. Like take a little bit of time to make sure the measurements are right. And I mean, look, we don't want to be rude, but we have seen some stuff that we're like, it's so obviously wrong. That
yeah, I mean, if it's not perfect, that's fine. But there's a difference between like not perfect and like, did you even try? Like it looks like you don't even have something you're looking at. You're just like, I'm gonna draw a fat boy fin from memory.
Yeah, somebody described it over the phone.
It's like also,
the game of telephone.
Yeah. I know everyone has their preferences, but it really bugs me that do a nice upscale, especially when it's like scaled correctly and finished nice, and then we're like, you know what this needs? An extra 3 feet of tube on top.
Dude, I know. Yeah. It's so crazy. And so I think it is just because people don't want to cut the tubes, especially fiberglass ones, because they're expensive. I get it. You don't want a piece of fiberglass that you spend a bunch of money on sitting around. But like, look, there is like 15 pieces of 54 millimeter fiberglass tube that are probably less than 14 inches in my closet that are all just random weird offcuts. I just made a new piece of 3-inch tube today that will never, ever, ever have any chance of getting used. Okay, but this is just how it goes sometimes.
It's like my 4-inch sumo copy has a 23-inch tube.
Yeah, Taylor gets but real I wanted meticulous to make, with it.
I wanted to make it correct, though. So I bought a 2-foot tube from Tim, and any reasonable person would have left it that way. So yeah, you don't necessarily need to be like me. That's a little ridiculous, but
you did it with your 5-inch Punisher too.
Yeah,
I specifically wanted a 60-inch tube. I asked him for them when we ordered them so that you could fit any 98 in there, but it wasn't good enough for Taylor. Taylor had to cut it down so it would be a perfect upscale.
Are you really gonna put a 6XL in yours?
Yeah, I'm gonna put an N4000 in it.
Okay.
That's probably a bad idea.
You have a motor you could put in it right now.
The N1560? No.
Yeah.
That is a minimum diameter only motor.
Yeah.
That can sit for years until I'm ready to fly it. Or maybe we'll fly two ridiculous minimum diameter ends at balls this year. along with our two stage and Rex's 12 inch rocket. So that should be fine.
Yeah, no problem.
That's actually a good rocket to talk about for an upscale as well. It's Rex now has Scott Binder's old 12 inch Fusion, which I believe used to be a 12 inch Diablo XL.
XL.
Yeah. And he's, well, I don't know how much he wants to tell me or wants me to talk about it publicly, the deal they've got going on, but it'll be cool. So I can tell you guys about that later, but, for now it's not my project to make announcements on. So, but we can, throw another shout out actually while we're talking about big upscale projects that are flying places again, talk about Bryce's Mad Cow Squats, plural.
Yeah.
He has one, at least one, I should say, of any size that you could think of. He has like a 7.5 inch one that's covered in AstroTurf.
Oh, I forgot about that.
His level 3 was a 20 inch one. He just built and flew the 24 inch one. How many times? Twice last year. Two flights on a 24 inch rocket. And
he's going to fly it again this year, right? Or no, a bigger one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Another one?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's our place to talk about that either. If he's put it out there publicly,
okay. Then
he is either flying that one or building another one or doing nothing at all. And Bryce, if you're listening to this,
probably not doing anything.
Yeah. Bryce is actually done with rockets, I've heard. No, that's not true. Let's just put that
out
of
the ether too. That might be worse than
just... Anyway,
this is a good time to talk about Braden bringing back ComSpec.
Oh, yeah. I'm on it, actually. You know what's interesting is actually somebody reached out to me who is an electrical engineer and was like, if you can give me some really detailed pictures, I can probably figure it out. He said he would love to assist. So that might actually be possible to get them. I don't necessarily need to be the forefront of running the company or anything, but I would love to help out for making it possible to get more receivers made.
Just point people in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. So shout out to Eric Beavers for providing another ComSpec receiver for us to check out. And I believe my dad's going to use it for tracking stuff. But we already did a tracking episode. So why don't we talk about what upscale or scale projects we want to do. And I'm going to start that nose cone on the 12 inch Punisher because has taken over all of the composite warehouse stuff will now be feasible for going back into production. So I think it's only reasonable to make the announcement that sometime between now in the end of my life, I'm going to build a full-scale Iris.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to need a trailer for each fin.
Were you going to store it in the backyard?
Well, when I hit 10 million subscribers and I have a mansion, I'll have all the space I need.
Just think about the fins on the booster. It would take up how much room that would take up.
I think it would take up less room than Bryce's squat.
Okay.
And he transports that down. Huh? Yeah. I'll make him removable.
Okay.
You have to. What is the fin span on an Iris? It's got to be like, I'm trying to remember the semi span on the 7.5 inch one, I think was like 14 inches. So, I mean, the 12 inch airframe and we'll say like, 19 inch fins roughly. I don't know, it's big. It's like 4.5-5 feet across.
God,
that's not too bad.
Yeah. Oh,
there he is. Nigel the Rocket Cat, folks. That was a really clear one.
Yeah, he's back on the desk, so he's really close to the microphone. He's just out of frame here.
But yeah, that's one of my dumb pipe dream scale rockets, a full scale Iris.
Well, I don't know if I'll ever build my pipe dream, but the 12-inch Bomark is definitely
okay.
on my list.
It's no more giving me dirty looks. You're like, oh, what are you going to do with that 12-inch Iris, you dumb A? What I want's a 12-inch rocket with a 5-foot wingspan. That's reasonable.
That's why I said I'll probably never build it. But hey, if we end up with an aircraft hangar to store rockets in.
Yeah, that is an aircraft, basically.
That would be a terrifying rocket to fly.
Yeah.
The full-scale Nike Smoke.
All right. I'm with that.
Now, that is something the anti-gravity group can all get by.
I would put money on the fact that a full-scale Nike Smoke has a bigger overall fin span than an Iris.
Yeah, but it's cooler.
Yeah, exactly. You're just Iris haters, okay? That's what it is.
Oh, so inconvenient. Let's build huge Bomarks and Nike Smokes instead. No.
You guys are just Iris haters. You guys can't have it. It's the best rocket
there
ever was.
Iris are cool. Iris are cool, but Nike Smokes are better.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree on that. It's just so mainstream. Oh. Everybody's got one. I have one. Ew.
I bet at this point, probably more people have Iris than Nikes.
There is no way. Not a chance. All the Estes ones? The Pro Series 2 ones? No way.
Those don't count. Those don't go high power.
Through all of the production of performance rocketry and Polecat, there's at least 3 Nike Smokes per Iris out there. I'm saying it.
No way.
The Iris just didn't have the love until the past couple of years.
All the listeners, let us know what your personal ratio of Iris to Nike Smokes are.
Yeah, I was going to say right now, I guess mine's 1-to-1, but at one point I did have 2 7.5-inch Irises and no Nike Smokes.
Mine's 2-to-0, so.
Mine's 1-to-0.
Yeah, well, it's because you guys are dumb. Anyway. something I really want to do, maybe not this big, Tom Cohen, speaking of which, he flew one, and Chris Lapanzi had one as well, but an upscale King Kraken would be pretty fun. I don't know if I need a 7.5-inch or 12-inch one. Maybe like 4. But that is kind of a little baby like cop out of an upscale because it's a 3-inch rocket. 6-inch one would be cool.
Yeah.
But
that'd be a good size.
I think it would just be wildly inconvenient to transport because, I mean.
So is an Iris.
It wouldn't be
okay,
like
listen,
terribly
here we
tall
go. Where are you going to put your 7.5-inch Nike Smoke, Taylor? Oh, the professional masterpiece. I'm still thinking of the days when you're just like limited by the backseat of a WRX to decide what you were allowed to build.
Yeah, I kind of miss those days, though. Life was a little bit simpler. Also, wait, no, the fin span wouldn't. I might be able to shoehorn it in. I don't know.
In the WRX? I did fit my...
What do you think? What's the fin span on a Nike Smoke?
Huge, I might be massive, able to. Big and stupid. It's unideal, unlike the Iris. I fit my fiberglass Iris in my Audi A4 with like all of my clothes and my computer and all of my stuff when I moved to Kansas. And I fit my paper 7.5-inch Iris in the Fiesta with one of the back seats still open. So,
wow.
You just got to get good at Tetris is all.
I'm pretty sure I can fit the big Sumo in the WRX, but I haven't actually tried. The fins are pretty big.
Yeah, you're going to poke up your interior. That is one sacrifice. It's like if next time somebody sees me at a rocket launch, if I'm not busy and you're curious to what traveling with a bunch of rockets will do, ask me if I have my Ford Fiesta ST with me. To look at the door cards, the back, it is destroyed. Yeah.
Specifically, ask about his headliner.
Yeah, the one good piece good of the one. Car that was left, I might add, also has airbags in it. And Ponstar's just like, whoa, cool, 3-inch Punisher with the most sharp pointed tip on the planet. And he just goes jabbing into the roof of my car. Like,
okay.
Look at me, I did it. I flew a J-1000 that used to be a K-1275.
Oh.
Might as well stab this car up for funsies to celebrate. And then
I had a good time doing it.
Taylor slamming his Postard's fingers in the door. Was that the ST? Yeah. I think it was.
Yeah.
It was.
You were so calm. You're like, my finger's stuck in the door.
Dude, Corey loves talking about that.
What else am I going to do?
I would have been screaming.
Burned into his brain. I can't imagine what that looked like from a distance.
Like, holy effing ass, my effing finger's stuck in the piece of ass door.
He's just like, open the door.
There was nothing I could do about it at the time, so I'm like, hey.
You just already know how much I would have overreacted.
Yeah, you can't even sit in the backseat of a car without thinking every pothole's Armageddon.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it is really bumpy in your backseat, so.
It doesn't matter if it's my Fiesta's backseat or the passenger car, front seat of a rental car in Baltimore. Anytime there's traffic, you're like, oh, like I'm not going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a bad passenger. I won't deny that.
Am I right?
Yep.
All right, I threw out my next dream scale project, so you guys got to go.
12-inch Little John.
Oh, that's a good one.
We could do that a lot.
We could do that. I think that I would put a good vote in if we on the for our next big project that's not going to happen for
it's too late. We're already thinking about it. Airfest 2025, the 12-inch Little John comes out.
Oh,
we already make a 6-inch motor.
Yeah, it's a perfect rocket for a 6-inch motor. But we already have another project planned, remember?
Is it the not so rocket shaped one?
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, that's an upscale. that's an upscale.
We could easily do both if we're going to fly the Punisher and the Arcus in one weekend.
That's true.
Yeah. What? Or remember the Wacky Wiggler?
Well,
what if we did?
We kind of already allocated all the tubes we had planned to do that with to other things.
12-inch Wacky Wiggler.
Oh. He's so chaotic.
Dude, there'd be enough room in 12-inch tubes that you could have each section separate.
Yeah, we'll just get a whole bunch of AARPs. ARRDs. Yeah. So it just drove Wacky Wiggles, and then at 1,000 feet, it's just like a fireworks show. And then there's
so
19
cool.
different pieces that we have to track.
I wonder if we could use explosive bolts.
Oh my God. Dude, that is crazy. That's another project I meant to bring up, actually, to the Nebraska Mercury Redstone.
Oh, yeah.
What is that thing, 24-inch?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe
Nebraska's
bigger.
Nebraska's done a lot of really cool big rockets. The Pershing, the Delta.
The Delta was so cool.
They did use explosive bolts for the dropaway boosters.
Yeah. Well, and they use explosive bolts to separate the other ones.
Yeah. From what I understand, they're basically just like nylon bolts they drill out and fill with black powder.
Yeah. But all those big sonotube rockets just had... they were like flat bulkhead to bulkhead. Or I guess not bulkhead to bulkhead, but yeah, kind of.
Right. Not coupled,
they were, bolted
per
together.
Se.
Yeah, not coupled. That's...
Yeah, that's
wood
wild.
To wood.
Postart scale or upscale projects?
Yeah, I really want to do a 10-inch sonotube Big Daddy. Or not Big Daddy, Fat Boy.
Yeah, man, that's another one that should come back from the grave someday.
Yeah.
Cross our fingers. Daniel Avila, I'm calling out to you once again. As far as I know, still the current owner of Polecat, we want the 10-inch Fat Man back.
Yep.
And one I should say is, I don't know if it's fair to call it a dream, because I've had components to build it since I was like 15, but my 6-inch Estes Alpha 4, the red, like, sequin wrapped one with gold Estes logos. I have decals from Marques for a 6-inch one. Now I have a tube. So we're just waiting on a nose cone, but it looks like the light at the end of that tunnel is getting pretty bright as well. So I'm going to start running out of excuses here.
But you really are.
If we can get 4-to-1 6-inch nose cones again, if you end up actually building that someday, I'd like to build a complimentary classic alpha to
the red, white, and blue one.
Yeah, to match it. And then one of the other anti-gravity group guys can build the alpha three.
Yeah, there is an alpha two as well.
Dude, how sick would it be to have them all next to each other?
It would be pretty cool.
It would be amazing. So anyway, check out the tip link in the description. We're going to have to buy trailers. If you really want to help us out,
bring our fleet of big alphas.
We're going to make anti-gravity group cargo crew shirts. Actually, if anybody wants to donate a 4x8 enclosed trailer, let us know. And then you can have a limited t-shirt. This seems like a great deal.
Wow.
I actually was unfortunately looking at the price of some 4x8 cargo trailers because somebody recently bought one and they are quite a bit cheaper than I thought they were. And I was like, oh, that's unfortunate information for me to have.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that a Fiesta can't pull a 4x8 trailer very well.
People do it, though.
I know. People do with WRXs, too, but it doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, my clutch has like 190,000 miles on it. I don't think we need to be pushing it.
You know what could? Your Volvo.
Yeah, that Volvo pulled a Datsun pickup truck from San Diego to Seattle. Or Portland. But that's also a manual now. So and it has a really, really expensive clutch in it. So again,
maybe be a nightmare from a stoplight.
Yeah, maybe. See, we just need to get Grandpa's truck down here and get it all cleaned up and ready to tow some stuff. Maybe a nice EcoBoost swap so we can get a little more fuel economy. Nigel, the Rocket Cat, is chewing on Taylor's microphone. Okay. Any last upscale or scale projects to throw out before we move on?
I mean, I'm sort of interested in a 1/5 scale Nike Hercules, but...
Yeah, you can't do that, though, because those things never get finished. No matter how much people are like, oh, it's coming. He's like a SoundCloud rapper. Big things are on the horizon. Big things.
Big things coming. It will be finished this year.
Ooh.
Are you sure? You only have 8 more months.
I have to, dude.
I would
put
willing,
money on it.
I would be willing to wager an H123.
Well, that's not very high stakes.
Pending that I get a nose cone as well, that my 6-inch alpha would get done before your Fiscale Nike Hercules that you've already started. If I can get a nose cone soon.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could build it in a week if you wanted to.
You could have been done a year ago if you wanted to. You've seen how I build rockets.
It's not that simple.
Yeah, it is. You've seen how I build stuff.
If this is not a normal rocket, though.
Yeah, but I build normal rockets slow. I work on something for 3 days, and then as soon as I have to sand, I'm done for a few months. Look at my Saturn V.
Or you just give up on all the details at the very end.
That does happen
sometimes.
It's
actually time to fly. You're like, yeah, I'm going to fly this rocket, but I got to put an aero pack in and build an electronics bay and put the rail buttons on.
That is my, once there's paint on it, I'm like, all right, she's done.
just an empty coupler.
Yeah. No. That is how
my work here is done.
Then I'm like, I'll get to that last bit later.
No shock cord or any recovery stuff inside.
Yeah, it's the night before the launch. Yeah. It's like a move-in ready house, you know?
Yeah.
They don't usually have furniture.
Yeah, no washer and dryer.
Right.
Like, we'll figure that out later. I don't know.
All right, Pasar, you got one more for us?
Not at the moment, no. Big mosquito, but yeah, it's obvious.
All right, well, I'm going to kick it to the Patreon people because we're already running a little long and Taylor's internet is going to take 9 years to get this uploaded. So, Rocket Kyle, this is an interesting one, says, I have a full 8-inch R-motor hardware set that I want to fly in a 36-inch diameter stomp rocket.
Oh my God.
What? He's so sick, dude. That's crazy.
That would be so cool.
That is a balls project for sure. But yeah, that would be amazing. So
we need the scale stomp bladder thing, though.
Yeah, dude, you can use you can use like one of those blobs. Like
no, use like an airbag.
Yeah, like a stunt airbag.
Yeah,
yeah, and then you can have somebody jump off a crane into the bag. And it has to be 2 miles away, but you know, then you can time the launch perfectly. Yeah, that's crazy. Please keep us in the loop on that, because also we got to go bowling, Kyle, if you make it this far in. Taylor seems disinterested, but Posthart and I will go throw a few games with you.
I'll just hang out with Matt if he shows up.
Dude, Matt will bowl, though.
Yeah,
he was so excited about the concept. Taylor's like,
was he?
I'd rather eat pizza and do nothing. God.
It's because I'm really bad at bowling.
Yeah, well, so am I
guess.
Anyway,
I guess me and Matt can have our amateur game and you guys could be good over in a different lane.
We can still have fun. It's not like because we all bowl avidly we have to be competitive about it.
You're gonna be competitive.
No we're not. Kevin Rulin says,
I don't
my dream
have
project
to prove that I can beat you.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin Rulin says, my dream project is a little Joe 2 BP-22 at 24 inches in diameter with all 3 staging events. I assume the staging events in reference are the like abort system.
Yeah, he texted me a while ago and was because I said we didn't have any big projects planned, and he's like, well, how about a 24-inch Little Joe? I'm like, it's not that we don't have stuff we want to do.
Yeah.
Like, he was putting in, I'm like, that would be a cool project. He's like, no, for you to build. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Not taking requests. You go ahead. But I'll help you if you want to do it.
Alex says, if you're serious about scale rocketry, you'll benefit immensely from having a copy of Peter Always Rockets of the World. I could elaborate, but I don't think I need to. If you know, you know. That's right. I'm reading ahead a little bit here. This is insane. I feel like Alex already, or always, like, his comments completely back up everything that we say. And, like, he's just very aligned here. He says, my favorite scale flight I've ever seen was Tom Cohen and Bob Utley's upscale Deuces Wild at Red Glare in 2022.
Wow.
Even though it may not have been a perfect success, it was wild to see. Yeah, in 2021, they flew it and it worked, though. Both motors were good. All of Tom's giant rockets are really a sight to behold. Dude shows up with giant M motors and flies them in giant rockets to like 800 feet, and I'm totally here for it. Yeah, we are too. It's pretty sick. Sometimes I like a good loud M motor lob shot or N.
I think he also, I might be making this up, but I think he did a big upscale of the Estes. Sorry, my brain's not working.
The alien space probe thing.
Oh yes,
I think
not
that's
what I was thinking of.
Isn't Sather Rainham do that one? He flew it on like L-22, whatever the 2-grain White Thunder 98 is.
The Star Wars, the Death Star.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think so.
I think that was him, but I don't know. Anyway, I had one of those when I was a kid. I've thought about like that would be so cool to upscale, but I don't really think I have the ability to do that.
Yeah. Alex continues. I still. Oh my god, dude. I still want to make a 24-inch upscale Estes Mean Machine, because imagine a 96-foot-tall Mean Machine. It's not all that practical. Oh, it's not at all practical, but it sure would be cool. Honestly, I'm down with that.
Dude, but think about the coupler situation.
And, like, wind.
Oh, God.
It would end up just breaking, wouldn't it? It would.
You would need a 96-foot tower, too. Like, this is the only way it could work. Oh, my God. All right. The logistics of that.
See, that's one of those things that if we had the TV show.
Exactly. So if any Netflix execs are watching for some reason.
That's a project just dumb enough that we could get executive funding to make happen.
Exactly.
If we're all willing to do it. But
it would be the tallest rocket in the world. That's an easy sell for clicks and views. Bingus Bobby says, just going to put this here in advance. Check if you're live. I have no idea what that's in reference to. Also, my favorite upscale I've seen is an upscale 2.5 times SS Black Star Voyager. Is that what that is? The Death Star thing?
No.
I think...
Death Star is Star Wars.
Well, I know what it is.
Oh.
I just wasn't sure if that was like an official Star Wars one. Or if it was one that was like, you know, vaguely... sci-fi.
The Black Star Voyager is one of those sci-fi things.
Huh. Michael Grayless says, I'm a big fan of the SS upscales. I have bought a few Dragon Rocketry kits. Oh yeah, shout out to Dragon Rocketry. They're doing some cool upscale stuff. Also love when people build scale versions of sounding rockets. Yeah, I need another full scale Arcus in my life. As soon as Tim has that back on the docket, I think I'm gonna have to try that again. And Jonathan Gabry, we can all agree, great person, right? Incredibly smart for his age. Incredibly smart, period. An amazing mind of the rocketry community. So it only makes sense that he says, I would love to make a full-scale Iris. Right there. What can you say except geniuses align? You know?
Oh my God.
You gotta have a special IQ to really appreciate the Iris.
Oh God.
Oh, that is it for the Patreon segment. So then we have.
I like how you save the talking about how awesome you are for the end of that.
What's actually amazing is about 90% of the way through that segment, I saw a new notification pop up, and it was Jonathan commenting that. That comment is 2 minutes old.
Wow.
So let me just make sure, actually, to Bingus Bobby's point, that we're not live. Yeah, okay, good. We're not live. It was just a coincidence. So do we end it here and save our next piece, or do we let him have it?
I think we should do it on the live.
What?
On the after podcast it. Live?
Yeah, and then upload it.
No, it needs to be recorded.
Yeah, I don't like
you
that.
You think so?
That's for candy bars and stuff. They get a special
series business.
Fair enough.
Yeah, let's let it rip. We can blaze through it pretty quick. It's only 8 motors.
It won't
take
very long.
It's 10 motors. But this is by special request from our friend Bryce Chanis, who we tossed the concept of the tier list to Patreon. That's patreon.com/rocketvlogs, by the way, if you're interested in joining the conversation. We have a Discord now as well, if you want to hop in there and chat it up. I'm going to post that link for channel members too, so if you're on YouTube, you can click the join button below and get all the behind the scenes pictures and stuff and get in on the conversation, the podcast before it gets recorded. That's where all of these comments and questions and everything come from. But he requested that we do a tier list again for the motors available in the Aerotech 54-1706. That's the 4-grain 54 case. It's like the perfect middle ground. We talk about this all the time, like money versus performance and how impressive it is. A 54 4-grain you just can't go wrong with. Or can you? Let's find out.
Okay.
We're starting out with a tough one. The K-185, the long burn. and I really had an affliction for this motor, and I can't tell if my judgment is cloudy because one killed my big daddy, or if I'm just like starting to not understand the place of shorter long burn motors in this world. Like I used to really want an M750 too, but like, why, you know, why not just go to the six grain if you're going to go for it with the long burn?
They are fun in the appropriate rocket, though. Like, I've flown a J90 and a J135, but I haven't flown a K185, which is weird. A J90 is such a useless motor, but I've had one in my box for like 7 years, and I finally had a rocket that was perfect for it. So it was actually really cool because it was really slow, went like 6,000 feet. But anyway, because I've never flown a K185, but I still appreciate it. I vote for B tier.
B is what I was gonna say too.
B. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're all in agreement there. The next one, the K513 Fast Blackjack, and I have to say, not only have I never flown one, I have never even spent a single moment contemplating purchasing one.
Yeah, me neither.
You guys?
Not interested.
I've seen them fly. I just, you know, 13-year-old me was way into the Fast Blackjack.
Me too, because we couldn't have Sparkies here. So it was like as close as you could get to me.
Yeah.
Well, in Idaho, I should say, not here.
But I don't feel that. I mean, I kind of grew out of it. So it was black smoke, cool. I think that's kind of where I was at with that.
I think I gotta say F. Someone's gotta take it.
I'm saying, you know? F. Yeah.
I was gonna say just, D, because it's still a rocket motor. But yeah, I mean, I'll never buy one.
Yeah, it's just, I think we're gonna average somewhere. I don't know. I'm feeling F.
Do F. Yeah, we could have an F just because.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would have to be free for me to fly one.
Right. Yeah. I'm never paying for it.
Even if it was a good deal, I'd be like, I guess I'd still do it. But I mean, it's not
somebody
great.
Somebody goes, hey, I've got a K513. Do you want it for $120? What do you say?
No.
Exactly. Somebody says, I got a K550 for $120.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Up next, the J450. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. The K456. The motor that miraculously has 1,281 total Newton seconds, bringing it up to a ground total of 0% K. 0% K.
But it just sounds so much better. Who wants a J motor in a 4 grain case?
Yeah,
nobody, right?
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to pay 4 grain prices for 3 grain impulse, which is what you're getting anyway. But I have to say, just because of how good my K456 was at LDRS 39, I like this motor.
Yeah,
I don't.
I've seen,
however,
quite a
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I just, you know, they. It's pretty hit and miss, but I've seen quite a few that were good. I've enjoyed the two that I've flown, so
yeah, I'm apt to say like B. Although
I was gonna say B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Dark Matter Motors. Yeah. We talked about this because we drag raced K456s and they were not good. And it seems like more recent Dark Matter motors are more consistently not as loud and fun as we want them to be. So I don't know why the wheels are coming off, but I'm sure it's just something to do with the scale of production at Aerotech, and it's just kind of a result of the manufacturing process. But if Gary or Carl or Joe happen to be watching this, or anybody at Aerotech, and there is a way to get the noise back, this is our plea. Because with a lot of noise, this is easily an A motor. Like, I would give the K456 I flew at LDRS 39 an A ranking, but because we flew three at once and not one of them was very cool, but it's still like a fun, sparky motor, I'm going B.
Yeah. All right, would be
the K540.
B's like
go ahead.
B for me is like I could see myself paying a near full price for the motor.
Right.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the K540 Metal Storm. The white smoke.
I used
smoke.
To be really against Metal Storm, but I've seen a few that kind of were pretty cool. So yeah. I'm going to say C.
I was going to say C too, because I was like that as well. And then I saw a K540 and it was super loud. And I was like, yeah. Okay. So we have the noise on one side and the black smoke on the other in the Metal Storm propellants. Dark Matter is a Metal Storm propellant, by the way. It says Metal Storm Dark Matter. For those who didn't know, I'm sure you all did, and I'm like having that revelation. yeah, we just need to merge them. But yeah, I'm for a good deal. Cool, I'd grab a K540. In fact, I did. I bought one because it was like $80 because the vendor was getting rid of it because it was an old bagged one. But then I sold it. But yeah, it was a good deal. The legend, the Aerotech K550 White Lightning.
I'm going to say A.
Really? Yeah, I think
it's a classic.
I think I agree. I almost.
I was between
A and S.
I was between A and S.
Me yeah. too. But I don't know if I'm ready to give it the S, you know?
S is like, for me, no-brainer. Yeah, I'm going to pick.
We know.
Well, K20, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, wow, spoilers. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and put K1100 in S.
Yeah. Because
I think we're all on board with that one. K550A, Postart, any objection? It's so good.
I'm all right with that.
It is, but...
It is really good.
I don't know if I'm buying one over a K1100, though. If that's the two options.
That's my thing.
I've got motors on the table.
Because those are like the old school bread and butter Aerotech motors. And it's like, you've seen so many K550s.
Right.
But I still like them. But if the vendor has just those two motors, I'm going to pick the K1100 every time.
Yeah, there was a time I would have put the K185 above the K550. Because I thought I liked it that much. But no, it's, you know. We're not that insane anymore. This is my teenage brain. K805 Mojave Green.
For me, C.
Me too.
I have flown one, and it doesn't do anything for me. I don't want to buy another one. If it were a good deal, I would. So that's where I put it at C.
Yeah, we talked about this last time that Mojave Green is not like a fan favorite amongst any of us.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, actually, because they were like, what do you mean what it takes to make it green? Barium nitrate is very poisonous. Look it up. But it is what makes rocket motors green. And it's also lethal in certain contexts, like powder, like making rocket motors with it. But once it's mixed in, it's, you know, whatever. I wear gloves if I'm flying a green motor. But, you know, like any motor, I wouldn't recommend chewing on it or sitting there and inhaling the smoke after it takes off. But it's, if you're gonna eat a motor, I'm gonna say go ahead and do like White Lightning, you know.
Well, that's a lot of magnesium, so probably not that one either.
That's a good point. Let's just go back to don't eat rocket motor propellant. I think that's probably the bottom line we should have here. But if you have to, definitely don't eat Mojave Green.
Stick to probably eating glue instead.
Maybe like an Aerotech Classic.
Yeah, just eat epoxy.
Yeah, it's way safer.
All right, K695 Redline.
I'll say B.
I honestly...
Wow, coming from the Redline guy. I'm between B and C.
I would be on the B level too, just because...
Okay.
I really like the Tin Tune Moon Rocket Shred, and that really did stuff for me. It's K695.
I've actually
first place in my heart.
I've actually never flown one, if you can believe it.
I can, because you went, oh, whoa, K1100.
I'm going to only fly that for 10 years.
I'm not sure how I ended up with a K805. I think I just thought this is something I need to try, and I've just been a Redline hater, except for maybe, certain motors. So
maybe what we're learning from the tier list is that we should be branching out. Maybe we all need to fly a K513.
No, I think I just need to maybe try a K695.
Okay, a K695 we can all agree on. Maybe a K540. But if anybody has a K513 and wants to give it to us to see how we feel about it, you're more than welcome to. But I don't think that's very likely. K2050 Super Thunder.
S.
I'm saying S as well.
I'd say A. I'm not, like, they're good, but they're not S for me.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, like, super into them until I started seeing more of them. But it is, I mean...
They're so good.
Yeah,
They're cool.
I just don't... The super fast propellants aren't always my favorite, but when they go, they hit good.
I really like them in, I don't know, I like them in all rockets, I guess, but I've flown a couple in my Nike Smoke and one in the Punisher, and quite enjoyable. But I liked it more in the Nike Smoke, I think, because it was bigger.
Yeah.
So it was just like punched it off, but you could see you could really see the flame.
They do make for great pictures too. So I'm with the S, and I think the 2/3 majority takes that one. Our final contender for the 54-1706 tier list, folks, the newest, I believe, the K1103.
K2050 is the newest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always get those out of order. But anyway, the K1103 Propellant X, which for me is also S.
S.
I'm all right with it. Yeah.
It's so good.
I mean, yeah.
Well, there you go. I want a Super White Lightning 54-1706 load.
That would be awesome.
It'd be like,
I would be pretty into that, I think.
K760, something like that.
It'd probably be more like a K9 something.
You think so?
Yeah, because it's pretty. Maybe a little less than that.
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends, because like the just four a little bit 75s. Slower than.
It's just a little bit slower than White Thunder.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because the 4-grain 75 is M2050 versus M2225, so maybe it'd be a K1200.
Well, but the 2050 isn't the best example for Propellant X, because it's a little bit. I don't know if it's a different formula, but the geometry is definitely not standard.
Right. Yeah. It's so three it's, big grains.
A little bit. It's a little bit slower than it would be otherwise, which is probably a good thing to keep. Because like the three grains at L1940.
Right. That's true. Yeah, I guess. Huh. So yeah, it might be in the 900 average impulse range.
Like for comparison, like a CTI White Thunder 4-grains, the L2375.
Yeah, that's a good Aerotech point.
Is M2225. Wait, M20. Yeah, that's weird to say.
Well, in that case, maybe test that out, Aerotech, and see where it lands. And if you're already there, get them certified and start selling them. That sounds pretty reasonable. Well, that brings our 54-1706 tier list to a close. I want to do one for the 75-5120 as well, and that's going to be interesting because we can also include CTI motors because it's cross-load. So that segment could be really long, but this one only took like 15 minutes because it's a pretty straightforward one. But yeah, I think we all pretty much agreed there, except for Posthart with the K695. But he's just a Redline man. What can you do?
I said that was B.
He said B.
Oh.
I'm kind of surprised by that, because you are the
Redline. Should be lower is the 2050. I think it should be A.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, but it's just, I go back and forth. I never like really am like, that's what I want to fly, because it's just like, it's a little faux pas, you know, it's a little showboaty.
It's just over so quick. Like,
Yeah, I mean that's why I like the M4500 and the M6000 because they're 98, so they burn a little bit longer. So it's just like super intense for a decent amount of time. Every time I see a K2050, I'm like, yeah, I mean it's cool, but what I really want is a K2045 because I wish it didn't have that dumb blue? Invisible flame, you know. No, I mean I like it, but I think I like the K1103 more objectively.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add.
All right. Nope. Well, there you go. That's our tier list for the 54-1706 loads. Sorry, Fast Jack fans and anybody that likes the K513, but it is just real, real hard to justify. go ahead.
I don't know. There's indistinguishable between a Fast Jack, a 2-grain, you know, like
I mean, or a like 38-720 one.
Yeah. You
couldn't convince me that I saw something different.
Yeah, it just burns a little longer.
Anyway, my name is Braden Carlson. You can find me right here on YouTube at Rocket Vlogs and on Instagram at BigB1011. For anybody using Snapchat, by the way, you can add me on Snapchat as well at BigB1011. I'm going to try and get some more videos. That's actually how I met Taylor, because he followed me on Snapchat from one of my other channels.
Yeah, strangely enough. My name is Taylor Jesse, and you can find me on YouTube at The Rocket Channel.
My name is Shane, or as you might know me, Postart, and you can find me on YouTube at Postart Propulsions.
And Macho Matt was not able to join us this week, but hopefully he'll be back next week. We are the Anti-Gravity Group. This is the Anti-Gravity Group podcast, and we'll see you next time.